got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to Genesis chapter 15. Just before I begin, I want to say I was at a baptism service this morning for a friend, my friend's daughter, Amy, who's 14, and she made her own public confession as Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and it was wonderful. But at the same time, I said to the Lord, thank God for Shiloh, because it's not the sort of church that I would go to. You know, I'm not into the formal sort of stuff that you know others enjoy in Presbyterian churches or whatever. But nonetheless, it was wonderful just to see God moving in such a way in another church where, you know, a 14-year-old and a guy and his wife and their two children were all baptized. It was like a household salvation. And it was just amazing to be there and to witness that as well. But, you know, God is always doing something wonderful. If he's not working here in a particular way, he's doing something else here, but he's doing something completely different somewhere else at the same time. So he's always worthy of praise. Let's just pray and ask for his blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we turn now to your word, we recognize, Lord, that we cannot limit you to within the walls of Shiloh Christian Fellowship. You're always at work, Lord God, and you do amazing and wonderful things. We thank you for other gatherings of believers, Lord, in the Presbyterian churches and the other churches, Lord God, and denominations where people know you and love you, and where, Lord, they find a niche where they can serve you and honor you. But we just thank you for this wee fellowship. And again, Lord, we praise you that you never fail to disappoint, Lord God, to not disappoint us, but to be here, Lord God, at every service. We're never disappointed, Lord. Your word says that. In fact, that was one of the mottos of this fellowship, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not be disappointed. And you never fail us, Lord. You come every time in the presence of your Spirit and minister to all of us. Help us tonight to hear your voice as we look to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Getting all tongue twisted there. As I'm thinking of my talk. Last week, Dave spoke about Abram's nephew Lot being taken captive, and it just shows you how things can change very quickly, because only a short while earlier, Lot had been given the opportunity by Abraham. Basically, they had been in Egypt because of the famine. The famine was over. It was time to go home, and they had basically to decide where they were going to live. There were so many of them and so many possessions and stuff, they couldn't all live together. So Abram said to his nephew, right, you choose wherever you want to live, and you go left, I'll go right, and vice versa. So Lot chose what looked like the best of the land. There was plenty of water and everything else. It just seemed like life was going wonderful for him, all going well for Lot. And then in a moment, everything changed, as he and his loved ones, with all of their possessions, were taken into captivity. You see, I've said this before from a Christian point of view in a good way, but it's true that life has a habit of bringing suddenlies upon us. And sometimes they're good, or they can be bad. Like, for example, myself and the guys could be watching TV on a given night, and suddenly the peelers arrive at the door. That's always bad. And thankfully not for them. But, you know, there's suddenlies that happen all the time. However, and I've quoted this many times, and I don't know who it was that said it, but the difficulties in life are intended to make us better, not bitter. The difficulties in life are intended to make us better, not bitter. But is that really true? Do the suddenlies that we face in life make us better people or bitter people? Do we really believe as Christians that God has an intimate plan for our lives, a plan that he purposed from before the foundation of the world? Do we really believe that God has a plan for our lives, as said in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us a hope and a future? You know, as a Glaswegian would ask, are we complete dafties? Are we mad to believe
Are we mad to believe God when things just don't seem true? Let's read in Genesis chapter 15. Now, I would recommend that you go home and you read the whole of the chapter. I'm only going to read the first six verses. In fact, you should read the whole of the life of Abram in Genesis, because that's the life that we're looking at this present time. But in Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6, says this: After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said to him, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And in this chapter, what happens is Abram still has a lot of questions, and God says, Look, bring me these animals and I'm going to make a covenant with you. And then Abram falls asleep and God comes to him in a dream and tells him, Your descendants are going to be slaves for 400 years and then they're going to come back to this land that I have promised you. And Abram believed God. So as I said, God had earlier promised that he would give all of this land, as we saw a few weeks ago, north, south, east, and west, as far as I could see, he would give it to his descendants forever. And so here God comes to him again in a vision and in a dream and says, Don't be afraid. I am your shield, your great reward. Now let me put this into context again. He's in his late 90s. We're talking 98, 97, 98 by this point. He's in his late 90s. His wife Sarah is well into her 80s. And being human just like us, Abram questioned God. How is this possible, God? How are my descendants going to take all of this land forever? How is it possible, considering I've no wains? My wife and I are childless. God then got Abram to bring a sacrificial offering, and he used this to confirm the promise or the covenant that God made with him. And God promised Abram, one will come from your own body, not this Eliezer in your house. One will come from your own body, and he will be your heir. In his late 90s, his wife in her 80s getting pregnant and having a son. It's hard to believe. If Abram was around in our day and this happened, you'd think that he would probably have Eraserhead's lyrics playing in his head. The only thing I can believe is that it's hard to believe. You could imagine him going down the town and saying to his friends in his 90s, sitting in the flagship centre where all the old people go in the winter because it's cold and they get free heat. Sarah's going to get pregnant. She's in her 80s. She's going to get pregnant and we're going to have a wean. You could imagine. They'd have thought he's on the drink. You know, he's hit the drugs. The only thing I can believe is that it's hard to believe. And in the evening, we're told in this chapter that Abram fell asleep and God came to him again in a dream and told him that his descendants would inherit the land, but they would be made slaves for 400 years, and that was in Egypt. But they would one day return to the promised land. And he also assured, and this is beautiful, he assured Abram that Abram would die in peace at a good old age. Wouldn't that be a wonderful promise from the Lord? That you would die in peace at a good old age. I'm bound to die in the most extreme pain. Or as my friend who's a Christian said to me, you're certain to get murdered. I could just see God's humour in that. But God made this, but probably be somebody from Shiloh who does it. But God made this covenant. He made this promise to Abram. It's a beautiful promise that he says, your son, you're going to have a son, and your descendants are going to have all of this land forever, and you're going to live to a good old age and die in peace. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. And it says this in Genesis 15, verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. It might have been hard to believe considering the circumstances, yet because God said it, Abraham believed him, and the Lord accounted it or credited it to Abraham as righteousness. In other words, all his sin was forgiven and he was made righteous in the eyes of God for simply having faith in God. In other words, Abraham, because he trusted in God and his promises, he was declared righteous in God's sight. As I said, I wonder, did Abraham and Sarah tell people what God had promised them? We are going to have a wean. You know, he just about to hit 100 and her in her late 80s. We're going to have a wean. I mean, had they done so, had they told people, I'm sure those who knew them would have thought they were completely bonkers, that they were, as Glaswegian would say, complete dafties to believe that God would do this. It was a wee bit like Noah that started off the series. I want you to go and build an ark, a big massive boat the size of the QE2. It's going to take you 120 years, but I just want you to keep building it in this area that hasn't seen rain for donkey's years. And the people must have thought he was a complete dafty, but he believed God. Abraham, nearly 100 years old, his wife Sarah, well into her 80s, God says, your descendants are going to have all of this land forever and ever. I promise you. He says, we don't even have a way in. But Abram believed God. You see, it seemed impossible. It just didn't seem true. But Abram believed God. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. Imagine when you go to bed tonight and you fall asleep. Imagine the Lord came to you tonight in a dream and spoke these words. Now you put your name to this. This is what he says to you. I have a plan for your life. A plan that will completely amaze you. It will take you to the highest heights and yet bring you to the lowest depths. You will experience great joy and yet endure sufferings. But I will be with you wherever you go, and I will make straight your paths. I'm doing a wonderful work in you, and through you I am touching the lives of many people, including your loved ones. My plan for you means you will see my glory manifested in countless ways, yet you will face doubts and fears about my presence with you. But because I love you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My plan will lead you to dwell in my house forever, where you will be at peace. There will be no more sin, suffering, or death there. I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. You will be filled with joy unspeakable when you see me face to face. If the Lord spoke these words to you tonight, would you believe it? You see, if you're a Christian, can you believe me when I tell you God has already spoken these words to you? You see, sometimes it's hard to believe. In fact, sometimes the only thing that I can believe is that it's hard to believe. Why would God say these things to me? Because he loves me. Why would God say these things to you? Because he loves you. I'll just give you a wee bit of a personal testimony here. You know, early in the mornings, I've been taking David's dog for a walk through Castle Park. And as I walk through the park, I tell the Lord, in the past week certainly, I tell the Lord, I really find it hard to believe that he has a plan for my life. I tell him that I don't understand why he lets things happen or doesn't change things for me or even for people at Shiloh. And I struggled this week meeting with someone to tell them that God has a plan. It was very difficult to meet with that person whose son had been tragically killed to say God has a plan. See, it really can be hard to believe God when it just doesn't seem true. Yet Abraham believed God when it just didn't seem true. You see, although I struggle with all that happens in my life and circumstances, and although you may struggle with all that happens in your life and circumstances, and you know, in the lives of people that we know here in Shiloh or others outside of it, I still pray to the Lord. Lord, although I struggle to believe that you have a plan in all of this, please help me to believe you. Help me to trust you. I pray this knowing that just like Abram, God made a covenant with me and that he is faithful to his word. God provided a sacrificial offering, a lamb slain for sin, to confirm his promise. He has covenanted himself to me. And if you're a Christian, he has covenanted himself to you. You see, the sacrificial lamb that was offered is Jesus, who died that I might know God and that you might know God and his love. See, if God loves me so much that he gave his one and only son to die for me, then I'm going to believe him when he tells me that he has a plan for my life, that he is at work in every circumstance, even if it just doesn't seem to be true. I'm going to believe him because God is faithful and true. But what about you tonight, Christian? Do you believe God? And don't say it in your head. Do you believe God when he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future? You see, when it seems the only thing that we can believe is that it's hard to believe, we can still ask our Father, please, Lord, help me to believe. Even when things just don't seem true. Can you, Christian, trust in the Lord? Maybe tonight you're here or someone will be listening to the podcast on the website and you're not yet a believer. You're not yet a Christian. Well, I need to tell you that God is faithful. That he is a loving God and his word is true. He is a God of covenant. That means he is a God who makes promises and he keeps those promises. His very name, his very word depend upon it. He loves you and he sent his son Jesus to die for you in your place so that you could know him and his love. And let me tell you, he has a plan for your life. Will you surrender your life to him and trust him? God's ways are always the best ways, and his plans will be fulfilled. But will you believe him tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the life of Abram. And how, Lord God, when he was faced with your word into his circumstances, promising him that his descendants would inherit the land forever, he, Lord God, and Sarah had no wains. He was in his late 90s, Father, she in her late 80s. It just didn't seem true. Yet Abram believed you, and you counted it as righteousness. Father, help us to realize that you do have a plan for each of our lives. Your plan is not to harm us. Your plan, Lord God, is to prosper us. Your plan is to use us in so many wonderful ways to reveal your glory. And one day, Lord God, to bring us to be forever in your presence where we shall see you. Help us to believe. No matter what our circumstances may be right now, no matter how difficult, Lord God, our life is at this time, no matter what this coming week may bring, help us to have faith in you, that you are God and you have a plan. And your plan, Lord God, is enveloped in your love. And you're always working for our good. Father, we ask that you would help us when really the only thing that we can believe is that it's hard to believe, that you would help us to believe in you. We all face those times, Lord, when we think about our lives and our circumstances and wonder where you are. Help us, like Abraham, to trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand to sing a couple of songs.